He's a two-time Stanley Cup champion, played for numerous National Hockey League teams, and had a very promising hockey career, and he certainly delivered on that. But since then, it's been much more than just hockey, but using that stature and notoriety in hockey to changing minds, and I certainly appreciate Daniel Carcillo for taking the time with us today. You've got a visit coming to Belleville coming up February 20th, where you're going to be talking about your journey, not just through hockey, but through concussions, through mental health issues, and making sure that we get the word out. I appreciate your time today.
Appreciate you using your platform to help us get the word out on this, Tim.
Now, you're also branding with a Belleville company and some Belleville hockey players in the NCAA and some semi-pro hockey to help get that word out as well. But I wanted to go back to your time in the Ontario Hockey League, because you were a player that had a ton of promise. You went through the ranks as a player that certainly got noticed. You were drafted in the third round of the 03 draft. But tell us about the behind the scenes, because one thing you alluded to in some other interviews is it's not just all Instagram and raising the Stanley Cup and making a lot of money. There's a lot more behind the scenes that people just didn't see.
Yeah, so there's a lot of really big stressors when you do move away from home, 3 hours away from home, you leave your friends and family, and what is supposed to be the most amazing year of your life, because I ended up getting drafted after the first season in the OHL. It was probably the worst year of my life, because I had to endure physical, sexual, verbal abuse at the hands of 12 veterans and a coach that knew about it and really harbored that type of environment. And it's a funny thing in recovery. I'm starting to get to a point where I can forgive everybody, and I can see that those events and those traumatic events that I had to go through probably helped me get to the NHL and stay there for almost 9 years and have a 12-year professional hockey career. And that's where I met my wife and my kids. So I'm starting to really be grateful for everything that I've gone through, even though it was extremely difficult. And I truly believe today that you don't need to go through this unnecessary suffering that I went through to learn about yourself and to learn how to be a good person and to grow and to make the NHL. And I know that, you know, there's been changes in the game and that in the way that we're taught the game, which is a really positive thing. And there's been rules that have been changed. So I think that they're somewhat on the right path, and I'm just trying to reach back and help, because I do have remorse for the way that I played and the way that I acted on and off the ice because of those traumatic events that I didn't have the emotional intelligence at the time to deal with.
Is it cyclical? Do you think the veterans before you endured what you endured when they were rookies?
Of course. Yeah. So I've since spoken to the veterans, and what I realized in those conversations is that they were just as broken as I was. And that's why it all kind of pinpoints back to Jeff Perry and the coach. And he was a year out of his professional career, and he was the one who broke these men before I got there. And he was the one who harbored this environment and physically locked the doors. Like, when we won or lost, he would lock the doors. The GM wasn't allowed in. Nobody was allowed in. And so it created this environment for predators to really excel and not get found out.
Did it take the love of the game away for you? Did you find any less enjoyment going to the rink? Was there a fear going to the rink as opposed to pure joy of what you'd spent hours in the dressing room and dry land training and in the gym and on the ice?
Yeah, it's a funny thing, because you go to the rink and you have this dream and you want to achieve it. And so you'll go through anything to achieve that, because you know, with one swift word and one call to any scout saying that I'm uncoachable, you're done in the hockey world. So yes, it became less enjoyable. But again, at that time, when I was a minor, when I was 17 years old, I just didn't have the emotional intelligence to say, wow, this is really affecting me. I always used the game as an emotional release from a very young age, and hence my nickname being Car Bomb throughout my career. And so I think now when people listen to me, then they can start to understand why I was a complete psycho on and off the ice, and I understand why. And hockey's a funny world because you have to embody being homophobic and racist and really a savage and taking advantage of other people for self-preservation. And if you don't embody that, then you're not successful.
Daniel Carrasillo is our guest. He's a two-time Stanley Cup champion, and he's also going to be speaking in Belleville on February 20th about his journey through hockey and through life. Daniel, when you win the Stanley Cup, when you're a champion, when you're known around the hockey world, known around the world playing this game, a lot of people would see it as, you know, the best of any options. But the fact is was there a point that you said something's wrong here or this isn't right? Where on that journey did you feel that it kind of hit bottom for you?
Well, it was 5 years into my NHL career when I was 25, and I was using, I had two surgeries back-to-back in 14 days, and then I got introduced to opiates and pure hydrocodone after the surgeries, and I got prescribed just the ridiculous amount, and I wasn't educated on it. So overprescribed, undereducated, and with all the trauma in the past, those drugs that numb you out and make you feel comfortable for the first time in the real world, I really, really enjoyed them. And they almost killed me in 7 months. And so at 25, I had to look at my career and take a step back and look at my life. Philly didn't qualify me. I just came off the biggest contract of my career. Nobody wanted to sign me. And Chicago came knocking with almost a minimum offer. And so I kind of saw the writing on the wall. It's either, okay, I'm going to end up in more institutions, I'm going to end up dead, or I'm going to get healthy. So then I asked for help, and I went to an amazing rehab center that no longer exists in the canyon that was burnt down in those Malibu fires, which is really, really unfortunate. But what it taught me there was that I can start to, you know, deal with the traumas that I've sustained, and I could be a better person on and off the ice, and I didn't have to be this car bomb persona that everybody saw me as. And so after that rehab, I changed who I was as a person and as a teammate, and then my luck was a sure thing. So my first 5 years getting traded, getting hurt, major surgeries, ACL blown out, PCL, you name it, it happened. And then my last 5 years, I went to the Stanley Cup Finals 4 times with 3 different teams, and nobody's ever done that. So it's an affirmation to me that if you live the right way, again, your luck is definitely a sure thing. And I think also in 2015, when my son was born, I always wanted to have a child, and that was a really amazing moment. And but I also didn't want to be an absent father. And so I was already starting, like, I had 1 foot out the door in November of 2014. And then Steve Monitor passed away in February of 2015. And then I received my 7th concussion in March. And the symptoms from that were just amazingly brutal. And we ended up winning the Stanley Cup again, my 2nd. And then I knew right away that I was done. And I was spiritually, mentally dead. Both inside and out, and I had to move on. And so still with a lot of anger and frustration, I didn't end up going to the banner raising, and I wanted nothing to do with the NHL or the organizations. And it's since been a 4-year journey to recover my brain health. And it's lately it's been going really, really well. You know, the last 8 months have been the best 8 months of my life by far.
How do you get connected with Ducky Brand Apparel? Was it through Belleville teammate Andrew Shaw, or did the Gudukas family reach out to you? How does that start?
Yeah, I saw what Andrew Shaw was doing, and I loved it. And Aiden reached out to me, and I was just super impressed with his emotional intelligence at 21, being able to make a decision to step away from the game and not putting himself through that suffering anymore. And so I wanted to do anything I could do to help and use my platform in the right manner. And that's what I'm all about now today, is just trying to almost, you know, reach back, pay it back. And, you know, the foundation's amazing. They sell some really high quality apparel, and they donate 30% of the the proceeds to the Canadian Mental Health Association, and this speaking tour is in partnership with both of them. So it's just really, it's a really exciting thing. You know, I think nobody's done this before. And so it'll be interesting to embark on this journey with somebody like Aiden and with a company like that. And I'm really, really excited.
Centennial Secondary School, 7 p.m. February 20th. You can see two-time Stanley Cup champion Daniel Carcillo speaking about his life and his journey. If we can, before we go, can you tell us about the focus of the talks or what you'd like people to get out of it?
Yeah, so the overall arching theme is that we can heal from trauma and that we can recognize our mental health issues or our shortcomings, and then we can move into proper, I call it a toolbox. We can use these tools that don't necessarily cost us any money, and we can get healthy and happy. And if you're a hockey player, then that's great. You know, you can use these tools to become a better hockey player, to be a better human being, and to be inherently more focused on the game. And so I think just offering people a very honest and vulnerable talk about kind of what I've been through and the good and the bad, and then have them assess, have them turn inward and look at themselves, because the reality of recovery is only you can do it. And so I want to try to empower people to look within themselves and find that power and realize that they are made of just pure love, and that they can heal and then they can excel.
The event is going to support the Canadian Mental Health Association again on February 20th, Centennial Secondary School at 7 p.m. We'll put a link to tickets at quinnynews.com. Daniel Carcillo, we appreciate the time today.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate the platform.